Our next JCD has also really given her life to the Lord in the process of her education. She's done very well in school, been diligent, and applied herself, but then also made a difference in a lot of especially young ladies' lives. And would you please welcome a great woman of God, Hannah Horvath. Come on up.
Thank you all. I want to say thank you to Pastors Phil and Carrie for allowing me to speak tonight. It's a blessing and a privilege, so thank you. My topic tonight is defining our identity. And when I was seeking God about what I was supposed to talk about, I really felt like identity was what he wanted me to share. And as I went back through my journals over the time that I've been here, I really saw identity and how God's been building that into me over my time here as a theme in my life. So I just want to share with you what God's been doing in me. So I'm going to start off in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They camped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Then he stood out and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, then we will be our servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So some things I noticed about this verse. First off, this is all occurring in the land of Judah. So it's occurring where God has promised the land to Israel. So the Philistines are already on the land defying God's promise for Israel. And the prophet Samuel was alive at this time. So I have to think that some people in the army knew that. They knew that God had promised that land to them. And also I have to think that people in the army knew about what God had done for them in the past. They knew the stories about how God had delivered them from Egypt and parted the Red Sea and delivered them from their enemies. But still, even though they knew about God's promises, they knew about what God had done. One giant's bravado had an entire army shaking in their boots. So this kind of relates to my testimony in some ways. I grew up in a Christian home and had wonderful parents and accepted Jesus into my life when I was a really young age. But I struggled with fear and just debilitating panic attacks for almost as long as I can remember. And I was even on medication because of it for a really long time. And I like the army of Israel. I was just paralyzed by fear in so many areas of my life. But God just really brought a huge turning point in my life, my junior year of high school. And a lot of that has to do with my first point. So my first point is know how God defines you. So God's word is the ultimate truth, and how he defines us is our true identity. And it's revealed to us in the Bible. And I had to make God's word my own confession. So in my junior year of high school, I was just at the end of my rope. I couldn't see a future for myself or anything. So I turned to God's word and I started finding verses that that spoke to me. So verses about God has not given us a spirit of fear and about God's peace for me and his victory. And I started using those and standing on those whenever I was challenged by fear. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So God's word is effective, it's alive, but I had to speak it and meditate on it and make it real for me before it had any effect on me. So I had to know how God defined me. So over the course of that year, my junior year of high school and into my senior year, I was doing that. And God did a miracle in my life. And I got to the point where I was off all medication, and I was able to come to WCU, which is something I never thought I'd be able to do. So, praise God. Yeah. Praise God. So, thanks. So, fast forward a year, I was attending this church and involved here, and all of a sudden I started struggling with fear again and with panic attacks, and along with that came so much shame and so much discouragement because I thought that was behind me. And so fast forward a bit more, I was so blessed by this church and by this family, and I was able to go through deliverance, and God brought me great freedom from the fear that had bound me for so long. So praise God. And so God freed me at that time, but there was still a process that I had to walk through, because like the army of Israel, I had bought into the lies of the giant of fear for so long, and I'd let that define me instead of God. And I needed something more than just knowing how God defined me. I needed to abandon the old Israelite. I needed to abandon the old Israelite mindset and adopt a David mindset. So later on in the chapter, David arrives on the scene after 40 days of Goliath's taunts. And he hears the same challenges that everyone in Israel heard, but his response is completely different. 1 Samuel 17:26 says, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" So David immediately recognized the Philistine for a lying imposter. He wasn't quaking in his boots like the rest of the army. His reaction was completely different. So what made David's reaction so different? Why was he able to stand up to that giant when everybody else was running away? I think that the answer is found in David's response to Saul in verses 33 through 37. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be of what like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So David spent his days up to this point tending his father's sheep, but he'd also been out with his harp. He'd been praising God and abiding in God's presence and getting to know God. He had a relationship with God. And the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. So I think he must have known God's heart. So David's response to Goliath was different than that of his companions, because he not only did he know how God defined Israel, he knew the God who defined Israel. So that's my second point. Know the God who defines you. Like David, we need to know the character of the one who gives us our identity if we are to truly understand who we are. David experienced God in a way that the entire army of Israel likely had not. It's hard to trust someone you don't really know. If an acquaintance comes up to me and compliments me on my patience, it's nice. But if a friend comes up who's known me for a long time and gives me the same compliment, it means a lot more because they know me. They know my failures. They know my faults. They've seen me in my hard times. So the same is true with God. Like the army of Israel, God was more of an acquaintance in my life than a close friend. I grew up in an excellent church and going to a Christian school, so I knew quite a bit about God. But I was so blessed to come to this church and see how the leaders of the church emphasize a relationship with God and really knowing him, getting to know him, and spending time with him and listening to his voice. And that's really changed things for me. I never really knew that, understood how easy it is to hear God's voice and to listen to him and let him speak to me. So knowing him in a close, intimate relationship has changed my life. Before, I had a hard time believing God's word and what it says about who I am, because it wasn't coupled with an intimate knowledge of the God who said those things about me. So because I hadn't developed a trusting relationship with God like the army of Israel, I found myself susceptible to the lies of the enemy. So I truly believe our identity needs to be established upon how God defines us and on our relationship with our definer. Without both of these, we're susceptible to the lies of the enemy. And the enemy will try to neutralize us with those lies so we're ineffective. So that's my third point. Know that your identity defines your ministry. Before truly knowing God, I felt really held back because I let myself to be defined by fear. And so I always felt inadequate and insufficient when a ministry opportunity came up. And so I'm still growing in this, but it's so different than it used to be. I know that because my identity is founded in God, I can step out of my comfort zone and minister in the lives of others. And I can step out in leadership because he guides me and leads me. And I can serve others because my significance is in him alone. And most of all, I have the privilege of affirming God's identity in others and speaking into their lives how he sees them. And Sarah Burnett and Katie Shelton did this for me at a time when I was so discouraged and I couldn't believe that God really loved and accepted me. And I was vulnerable with them, and they showed me God's love and acceptance. It really broke through a barrier in my life because I could see that, wow, God really does love and accept me because somebody else showed that to me. And I really want to do that for others. So now that God has radically changed my life, I want to show that his love and freedom to others. And I want them to see their true identity, that it's in Christ, not in the lies of the enemy. So let's use our God-given identity to impact others for Christ. So in conclusion, I'm just so blessed to be a part of this family. And I've grown so much since I've been here, and you've all been a part of that. So thank you. And I want to encourage you to let Jesus show you your identity and let him define you as you grow closer to him. Let the giants of fear that you might be facing bring you closer to him in relationship with him and the truth of your identity that's founded in him. Thank you.